This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Again, the numbers to call for today, 325-4316. That's 325-4316. We are having some technical difficulties, and you may not be able to get through on 323-6232 or 325. Still try them, but just don't get upset at me if you can't get through. Again, 325-4316, and the text line is 422-GR96, 422-GR96. Now, this is a Thursday. It is the 1st of December. It's the 1st of the month. Oh, unfortunately, I don't have a government job, so that don't mean anything to me, but
December 1.
The first, Christmas is almost here, and I am ready. I'm ready this year. I talk to all my Chichanis. I let them know. I expect gifts this year. Yeah, the pandemic is over. It finished, and we get back to normalcy, and I expect gifts.
Okay.
And I think what we need to do is we need to look at the people we love and expect gifts from, and look them straight in the face and tell them right now, I love you, and I expect a gift from you. You could even be bold and tell them what you want it to be.
Like a bowl of star fruit, for example.
Why, thank you, Mark. I didn't even tell you I wanted that for Christmas.
You know, my wife, she tell me she don't want anything for Christmas, but I know that's woman speak.
No, that's a trap.
That's a trap. You don't think I'm going to fall for that?
No, it's a scam.
Yeah.
Get her something.
Maybe absolutely.
Right. And so because you're going to be sitting there looking at me, mm-hmm. waiting for your gift, mm-hmm. and I can tell you, look here, when you said nothing, I went to the stationers, and I had them print out a lovely card that says nothing. Anyway.
That's cause for divorce, you know. You can't do stuff like that.
Maybe we should do the 12 days of Chicharney Christmas.
We should do. Yeah. On the 12th day of Christmas, my Chicharney gave to me.
Nothing.
A voucher that wasn't VAT-free. Anyway.
A voucher for Moscow's department store, right?
What?
They have a department store?
They used to.
They did?
Back in the day. No, I'm kidding.
That's exactly what... In fact, do that. Give somebody a gift from a place that don't exist no more.
Yeah.
Like a gift voucher. And then they say, oh, you waited too long.
And
you waited too long to...
Make it like an $800 million voucher.
Look here, FTX, they ain't giving out no voucher.
There was one lady down who... she's a real businessman down. I won't mention her name. Bless her. But my mom had a voucher one day out. And she refused to pay that back.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like it expired the next day?
Yeah, it expired one day before.
Oh, one day
before.
And
she was a tough businesswoman.
Right.
She said, look, read the print.
That's what it says.
Yeah, so.
Listen, I had an aunt. I have an aunt. She had a bank. It's called...
Under the mattress.
No, it's called National Suckers Bank. Apparently, I was her best customer.
Did she hold on to your funds for you? Is that what you're saying, Aaron?
Yeah, no, my mother would hold on to my funds for me. She would give my mother my funds to hold on for me. I was definitely the sucker in National Suckers Bank.
Well, you know, she must have trained Sam Bankman-Fried.
Possibly. Possibly.
She must have taken one of his classes, right?
I try to figure out why he's still here, and it turns out he's a Bahamian too.
Of course. That's what I wanted to mention about the residences, but go on.
But, you know, that dude was on... show yesterday as a key guest speaker.
Yeah.
That's an example of what a protected person looks like, or PEP, right?
Or our perspective on this entire situation is wrong. Like, we're the ones who are askance, right? We're askew. Maybe, like, the rest of the world is like, did he do anything wrong?
But it's amazing. I was watching some stuff. He's saying, well, you know, I never knew how to code, and, you know, it's just a big mistake. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
That's what he said?
Yeah. I mean, in as many words, he had this interviews just the other day. Check him out on YouTube. It's very.
No, I heard about the one last night or the last couple of days.
Right, right. And so, you know, he's protected. I don't think anything's going to happen to him because he made plenty money, you know, donations to a certain party. And there's a lot of family connections to, you know, that network. And so the way it's going to be played is that he was a very intelligent, bright person, and, you know, it just went, you know, they didn't have enough controls, and I think that's how it's going to be played, right?
I get called my Uncle Joe.
Mm. I'm sorry, officer, I didn't know I couldn't do that.
Imagine if you teeth $1,000, right, you would be down Central Police Station.
Producer,
$1.
Put the clip, get the clip ready, get the clip ready.
$50.
$1. Didn't we arrest a young man the other day for $1
We didn't arrest him for $1.
Okay.
We arrested him for entering a vehicle without permission.
Okay.
That he only took $1.
Okay.
Is another thing.
Right.
That there may have only been $1 is another thing.
Right.
But I think it was really that you trespass. Whether it's burglary or trespass or theft, mm-hmm. it's not the amount that mattered. It's about the act.
So how much can you owe BPL before they turn your lights off?
Depends where you live.
Listen, if you live on Frank Watson Boulevard, I imagine your lights don't never go off. Right? I imagine they don't never go off.
Right. Current stay on.
All the time. All the time. Anyway.
It depends who you are too, right?
Yeah.
And you're quite an important person, so not I can't me. Imagine they would ever cut you off, Aaron.
Listen, I have a problem.
Because they know you got a radio show.
I have a problem, like plenty other people. that's just popped up. I just realized it. So to do certain things, like to get a bank account, right? Like, I'm getting ready to sign up for NHI because National Suckers Bank wasn't paying my NIB. Some of these processes require you to bring in a bill with your name on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like a utility bill with your name on it. Now, if you live in a house with somebody, typically only one person pays the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Or the bill is in one person's name.
Right.
And if you're not that person, you can't get a utility bill to present to this entity to open a bank account.
I think you can bring a rental agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what if you're not renting?
Yeah,
right.
It would have to be a letter from the person whose name is on the utility bill would have to write a letter stating that you reside there and so on. But, so hopefully you're on good terms with them.
But here's the thing. If I have a voter's card.
With your address on it?
With my address on it.
Do you mean the cardboard one that was written in pen?
Right, like I mean the one that I had to reuse for the 2021 election.
Right.
From 2017, one.
Yes.
But like if I have a voter's card, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I have another piece of ID that's linked to a central database, why wouldn't that be sufficient to track or determine my address?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The central database that is not connected to any other databases.
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
I mean, that's the one, yeah.
Okay. All right.
But can't you use a phone bill? Like a rep? Some kind of...
Still.
Alive that would have your address.
Your name would have to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, everyone has a cell phone, right?
Yeah, but they don't give bills.
Oh,
okay.
I guess maybe if you have a postpaid bill,
right.
You could request it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I could imagine the conversation when I go into BTC requesting a letter indicating my name, my account is attached to this address, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine that conversation. But it's the same conversation, right? Like, I can't imagine the conversation that CIBC is going to have with all of their customers.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about January 3rd, they ceasing, I think it's in-branch transactions.
It's all going to be done through the ATM, right?
ATM, right. Yeah, online. Some,
they have really good ATMs now on the Shirley Street branch where you put in cash and checks.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to put it in an envelope that's stuck together.
Pause. Is that the highlight? Is that the highlight of the service? That you could put in cash? Because I was just about to go hard on Bank of the Bahamas.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, it took them over a year to figure out their door lock security function. I would have had
mm-hmm.
far too many encounters with people who walk in while I'm in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because either they didn't see me in there or to find out that the second machine isn't working
right.
at mm-hmm. all.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't leave. They just stay. I'd be like, is this the moment? Are you going to give me some money to put in here? So why are you here?
Yes.
You can't. And worse if it's a mom. That's an older woman who is due respect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she's an older woman.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell her go outside. Because she's like, child.
I don't want nothing you have.
I know when they order your face at a Pampas, you know.
Yeah.
But she coming in for the AC.
I mean, that too.
That too.
Yeah. And a nice glass of water.
Anyway, I am concerned, mm-hmm. right? I'm concerned mm-hmm. for a couple of reasons. January 3rd is almost a month away.
Just over, yeah.
That's not enough time
mm-hmm.
to make sure that your customers understand the shift, what services are no longer available, what services are available, and how to go about accessing those services
mm-hmm.
efficiently and effectively.
So are they going to fire all the people that used to be tellers? Is that
well,
where
they
this
only
is
have
going?
One teller. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I can't say that for sure.
That's a big point. What happens to all of the staff?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Are you removing jobs? Will the current stay on?
Now, I agree.
What happens when one of these is down?
But
Mark mentioned Shirley Street.
Yeah.
I do not have easy access to the Shirley Street location at this time.
Yeah.
Do the other branches, will the other branches facilitate the same thing?
Right. Absolutely. Do the other branch ATMs?
No, not all of them have the latest one. Because
mm-hmm.
I was down on Bay Street, and they send out a little envelope, and it's glued together. So then you have to break it apart, open it up, so you can't close the envelope, put your cash in. I went to the guy and said, what if the cash
falls out?
He mm-hmm. said, no, don't worry about that. I said, okay, write me a little note saying that if I lose $20, you could pay me back for that. He said, I ain't say that.
Listen, I want to say shout out to all of the security guards who are working their job and seven other people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say good morning to all of the banks that are working security officers like they are concierge staff.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you're paying them like they're concierge staff, because a couple of security officers almost get cussed, and it wasn't their fault because somebody have them out there doing a job that's not their job.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, there was a ruling recently, right, where a security officer had, I think, he brought his employer before the courts for not paying overtime pay.
Right.
He indicated that the staff had been required to sign a letter saying that they waive overtime pay.
Mm-hmm.
I think Farquharson, the director of labor, I think he's now the director of labor, had been before. Anyway, Farquharson said, you can't do that. That's against the law. Nobody could waive their overtime pay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the gentleman was awarded a back pay, like mm-hmm. a lump sum back pay, I think totaling slightly over $11,000 over 4 years.
Figures, yeah,
mm-hmm. over 4 years. It needs to be said again and again. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but weren't we all aware that they were treating security officers like slaves?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't following the law for years, almost decades now.
Wow.
Not recognizing the need to mm-hmm. pay overtime pay.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, I had an encounter with a security officer that was left for 24 hours on a post because nobody showed up and they didn't have their own vehicle to drive home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we say congratulations and we thank mm-hmm. that brave security officer for putting his neck on the line, taking the risk, and taking a step forward for all security officers.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
Mm-hmm.
There's another story I want to touch on. But let me get to these texts first, and then producer, we're going to play that clip. All right, first text, MIT graduate geniuses, so I was not sure should not cut it as an excuse.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, Bankman-Fried can't get off on.
Well, they gave the hedge fund part of it, which was, no, there were no Chinese walls, right? So all operating next to each other on desk. They gave them a free ride. They had no risk management structure. So they had no margin calls. So if they did risky trades, normally when you have a margin call, if you have a loss on a trade, you have to put up more cash. They didn't. Alameda didn't have to do that. Now, is that an oversight? Can that be qualified as an oversight? That just doesn't happen in the real world.
But is that something that the regulator would provide the oversight for?
No, that's part of the
internal corporate machinery.
I mean, that is just governance. You would never find a financial institution that would operate that way because it's illegal.
Right. So while it may not have been contrary to any regulatory provisions,
I'm sure it was contrary to a regulatory, to our regulatory framework.
To the DARE Act?
I'm pretty sure. Well, I don't know. You'd have to.
We'd have to delve into it.
But if you look at a normal financial institution that's regulated, they just can't do that. That's considered illegal and constitutes
fraud. Right, okay. So I get that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
In a regulated central sort of...
In a bricks and mortar insurance company, bank...
Traditional financial institution.
You'd never see that.
Right. And so while it may not have been against any particular law or breached any regulatory provisions, it should have been a clear indicator to anybody who has experience in the field that this is something that we need to pay attention to and could be an indicator of problems in the future. For me, it's an indicator of corporate culture. Mm-hmm. And it suggests that this could be happening. This sort of looseness could be occurring throughout the institution, throughout the... corporation, throughout the community, the space.
How do you verify something like that? You could just, you could say, yeah, we're doing it. We're keeping everything separate. But if somebody tells you that, is it your duty then as a regulator to go in and then double check and make sure those things are actually work electronically,
But I think this is important, right? Because the European Union has been talking about FTX. And one of the things... I heard the European Union, if you could see me on the camera with quotation marks, the European Union say, is that, and this is an inference, right? I'm inferring this from their statements, but they're suggesting that to be able to provide any sort of regulatory framework for cryptocurrency, not only do we have to regulate crypto businesses and crypto exchanges, but we may have to regulate countries that are hosting crypto businesses and exchanges, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, that was a sticker pin moment, right?
But the other thing is, their compliance officer was implicated in an online poker betting fraud. How can you have somebody like that? I mean, that was big red flags. Mark Cohodes pointed that out in like 6 months ago. I said, "Who is this dude?" And then he posted the link to this poker scam where they were betting against. Anyways, yeah.
No, don't stop. Dear Bahamian, I just wanted to speak over Dear Bahamian government. Do you see what a red flag looks like?
Yeah.
You understand what a red flag looks like?
So the poker. They were betting against their own customers. So they had two elements to this business. One business was the front end, me and you, and then they were betting. They could see what hands the customers had, and they would bet against them and make their own money. This is very exactly how this structure at FTX. So you had two organizations. And Alameda's betting against its own customers.
When I told my Grammy I wanted to open a web shop, I wanted to get into gallery. I told her that's exactly what I was going to be doing. Like, how are you going to be? I betting against them. We could win. Mm-hmm. Either way, we could win. She's like, listen, I'm going to call Jesus right now and tell him that don't make any.
I mean, luckily, there's a few people on Twitter who are calling it out, and we'll be interested to see what happens, because we're seeing the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more to this.
Yeah.
A lot of it you can't really say on the air,
Right. And out of an abundance of caution.
Of course, yeah.
I think, it's
important. We have habeas corpus.
Right. I that's like bring them before the courts. I don't want nobody habeas corpus me. That's why we gonna have this little talk right here. And a lot of people want to talk about FTX, right? A lot
right,
of people
yeah.
want to delve into it. And I'm hoping that people understand all of the, it's a word, Mark, like all of the potential dangers,
yeah.
right,
I mean,
along the path of this conversation for people hosting yeah. the conversation and talking, especially when it becomes a multinational discussion and investigation.
Because, you know, banks can go bust, right?
Yeah.
And we saw in 2008, a lot of banks went bust because of risky trading, you know, these are derivatives that they were trading. And so if you're going to put your money in a bank and the exchange is like a bank,
yeah.
You got to just make sure that it's solid. And
the exchange?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like thin air, you know, the whole thing, you can't pin anything down.
And
a lot of the assets had no value.
I can tell the people, if you're trying to figure out what Mark means, putting your money in a crypto exchange is like giving it to your mummy. You just may never, right, you may never see it again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, ain't no police officer going to make your mummy go before the courts and answer to what happened to your little $100.
But the difference is mommy didn't go to you and say, look, I'm going to get you 30% increase on your money.
No, sometimes they do. Sometimes they do, right? But for people, for real, for people who are trying to figure this crypto thing out, you want a real life example. Putting your money in a crypto exchange is like giving your money to your mummy, or worse yet, your Grammy, because your Grammy have sympathy for your mummy.
Mm-hmm. You have to be really sophisticated in that crypto space. You know, people would then put it into their cold wallet. But what if you lose the password for your cold wallet? That's
yeah,
it.
That's
over.
It.
That's your money gone. You'll never find it. There, you know, stories of people that Bitcoin, their hard drive froze. They couldn't recover the data. Your guy lost 1.5 million pounds.
Yeah.
Because his hard drive went. He had his cold wallet on his hard drive.
Yeah.
It could never. So it's.
It makes no sense.
Wow.
Okay, so hold on. He didn't just have the password on the hard drive and lost the password. He lost the whole cold wallet.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he found the password again, it wouldn't matter because he wouldn't have the thing itself to open up.
Yeah, it's probably technically not a cold wallet, but a hot wallet.
It's kind of like.
Because it's on your data, but a cold wallet would be something separate, like in a safe, or you put something in your safe. And hope that, you know, it's a fireproof safe and that you remember the code. But, you know, and the codes are so complicated now because of, you know, the hacking. They have like 30 numbers and how you could remember
right,
that.
Right, because I can write it on the wall. I can be honest with you. I dead old school.
Mm-hmm.
I can write it on the wall right next to the cold wallet. I mean, what we could do? Because think about it. You live in the Bahamas. It is in the absence of language like extreme energy crises, right? We have tentative technical services with our electricity. And a surge could just mash up my hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to sue BPL and the Bahamian owner, the Sun, for my monies. It just...
How are you going to do that? You can't even do that if you...
I can't even call the boy the Sun Sar. Man, why you just don't call yourself the Sun Sar, sir? To make it easier on us. Just quell all these expectations.
Well, two things that you did mention that stuck out to me was, one, the general spirit of slackness involved in the industry, which is also based on the fact that you're supposed to be more intelligent than and a genius and, you know, smarter than and more educated order to operate in this space.
Right. Now, some people will not say industry. Some people will say in the FTX fail. Right, they're going to say, look here, FTX was a sole example, and these other businesses aren't operating.
Well,
like
you
that.
Had taken it to the corporate level. That's what I was referring to in terms of, you know, corporations and organizations and so on. There's this level of, you know, cloak and dagger or slackness or whatever you would like to refer to it as. Based on the fact that you, as the average man, is not going to understand what is going on in these spaces.
And you're right, just the nature of the thing itself. It's
right.
a deregulated currency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
No, I thought that was interesting. As soon as you said that the industry, right, I thought of all of those people, including this boy, BitBoy, crypto, whoever he is in. This is just FTX. This isn't the whole industry.
Right.
But
It has repercussions.
And it seems like
block fires now, which is, you know, because they have a lot of really cool investment vehicles. So you could, if you have some Bitcoin, you could lend it out and you could get a return on it.
Yeah.
But again, it depends on that organization that's providing that service, whether they, you know, yeah, operating in, you know,
good
prudently.
Faith. Yeah, yeah.
Because if they aren't, you know, that money is, again, potentially gone.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I just want everybody to know, let me say this again. Putting your money in a crypto exchange is like giving it to your mommy.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
The second thing was the regulation of the countries that would have access to these things, which is also creating another barrier, uh-huh, right, to something that is supposed to be, yeah, moving without barriers. And now if you implement barriers within certain countries, okay, what qualifies a country to be one of the ones who can host this kind of thing?
Yeah.
You know, like it reintroduces the idea, I believe, of the classism and the barriers to entry for, mm-hmm, something that is supposed to be accessible across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to make these decisions? And then what is going to determine whether or not your country is a part of, you know, able to have access to this thing in the future?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's the same thing going to play out that the prime minister was attempting to address in the traditional, you call it brick-and-mortar financial world, right? Like, mm-hmm, look, y'all are treating these brown countries differently.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all doing the same thing,
mm-hmm,
that you accuse us of doing,
mm-hmm,
but you're not meeting or facing the same penalty and chastising, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm, public
lashing. And like you say, in the same way, it feels as if you're trying to limit who could play this game,
mm-hmm,
which suggests that the problem isn't the game itself,
it's
just who could play
it. Yep.
Right?
I mean, it's like a Delaware company, you know. You set up your business.
I've never been to Delaware. Delaware is a fascinating place,
yeah,
though.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. But, you know, back in the day, I don't know if it's still the case, you didn't have to have board meetings. You didn't have to have records. You didn't have to have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, every Fortune 500 company has a Delaware company at its base because there's no transparency.
Hmm.
And so, you know, but we're expected to be transparent and so on. But plenty goes on in those Delaware companies that we don't know about, right?
Mm-hmm. Honorable Leslie Miller Bryce, why we don't make Delaware our sister city?
Twin.
To Nassau, twin city to Nassau.
Nassau.
That could work. Anyway, y'all having this conversation like y'all don't want me to have the conversation I want to have.
Okay.
But that's okay because I got to read the text before I ask the producer.
Do you think this has anything to do with traffic?
Possibly.
It might.
It may do. Okay, Sammy embezzled billions and nothing happened to him, but the little boy who stole dollar was fine and had to do time.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, first of all, we don't know yet if Sammy embezzled billions. And in fact, Texter, why are you calling him Sammy? It's like y'all have a friend. Y'all,
yeah,
a proximity. I only joking, Texter. I only joking. I don't know if you know Sam or not. Another text. Perfect time for Trey and Ron. Ah, Trey and Ronnie. Yeah, that producer, they say, play Teeth. Teeth by our Bahamian Trey. Ronnie Butler and Father Fred, right? I think it's Father Fred. Anyway, Father, you ain't a thief, so we ain't worried about you. You's our boy. Another text. It should have raised red flags when SPF said, I, in quotations, miscalculated the margins. My first question was, why is the CEO calculating margins? That's what I tell you. If I ever go to Superwash and I find Dionisio de Aguilar,
yeah,
asking me if I want to press it, fresh it,
yeah,
or whatever, or wreck it, I could say, no, sir. I'm sorry. I come back tomorrow. When Miss Mary on, I coming back, sir, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To tell you how odd that is, I would have had the same reaction if he said he was too busy cleaning the toilets and making lunch.
My Lord.
It's, mm-hmm, odd. Mm-hmm. That's a good, a red flag. Good morning. An angle I think many people aren't exploring is that this entire scenario, especially given the caliber of major investors, including presidents and celebs, was set up to implode. And this was done to dismantle the revolutionary crypto ecosystem before it fully eclipses the global central banking business and their stranglehold on most of the world. Hence, what was once a viable decentralized financial system now has a cloud of fear and doubt looming over it. Mm-hmm. This FTX situation, in my opinion, is controlled opposition aimed at building trust to discredit and destroy it as a means to steer people back to the old system, even if the wolf is being clothed in central bank sanctioned digital currency skin.
Nice. I like that, Texter. Good mm-hmm. text. I mean, I tweet that.
I think it's too long for a tweet. But
yeah,
break it down.
Yeah,
that's a nice perspective.
Dear Texter, I too like this text. Just because I'm not going to follow up on it don't mean I don't like this text. We can follow up on it on some point. Text, Aaron, correction. Crypto is not a deregulated industry like you said, because a deregulated industry is one that had regulated controls previously and they were removed. Crypto is unregulated because they never had controls, Aaron.
Okay,
thank you, Texter. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Very important. It is unregulated. Giving money to your mummy is deregulation.
No, that's unregulated, too. Was it ever regulated?
Yeah, there are rules. Maybe not. I don't know. You can't rule these mothers. You can't. One more text. Good morning. People lost millions of dollars, and someone is going to pay if Freed Bankman doesn't end up unalived or missing. I would be very surprised. This isn't a joke. Americans don't play that corruption game. Foolishness like this only happens in the Bahamas. Dear Texter.
I saw
people, they bring them to the Bahamas to unalive them, right?
Okay, speak. What?
Oh, pause. Sorry. Okay.
No, I didn't hear that. But here's what I'm going to say to the Texter. First of all, Texter, let me introduce you to the wild world of wildness. Did you just say Americans don't play that corruption game? Dear Texter, I don't have the time to pull up any examples, but I'm sure Mark have about 17 examples he know about right now.
Off the top.
Let us brush past this idea that the Bahamas is the only crooked or corrupt place in the world. Mm-hmm. And I said it like that because Mark reminded us last week that our government used to issue wrecking licenses. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now remember, if it ain't against the law, it ain't illegal, right? Mm-hmm.
But who was bringing the boats?
You don't worry about that. You don't worry about that. Anyway, the last two texts, I would like to thank you for lighting up the show, lighting up my head. But we got to go to a break. When we come back, I can fight these people to see if I can talk about what I want to talk about, because they want to talk about what y'all want to talk about. We're going to a break. Thank you, producer. We're coming right back. Y'all stay tuned.
Brother. My old lady, whom one day bake you one Johnny cake. I say, mommy, let me get a little taste. She tell me, go find one plate. Come back oven dead empty. The spider and thief on Freddy, he nearly tore one load. But he ran down Burma Road. The spider and thief on my hat. I my new phone and I just buy that. He thieves some sauce off my line. That's my girl, oh my, not even mine. New jeans, he rocking on the blue. Brand new belt and a brand new shoe.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Guardian Radio shows and our hosts send messages, including text, email, and even call, all from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I talk quality.
I just telling you what you ask me about the boy walking up the hill with a full tank of gas on his shoulder.
Back in 2019, the road. traffic amendment regulation allowed motorists to take a left turn on a red light. However, police of the traffic division revealing that while there is a law in place to allow it to happen, that action is currently illegal unless there is a road sign.
What the general public is not aware of, though, you only can make the left turn where there are signs posted telling that you can make the left turn. So what we have noticed, and there has been some accidents caused by it, that persons are coming to the traffic light, it's on red, but because the law is amended to allow left turn, they immediately turn left without ascertaining the way clear. The caveat to that is there must be a sign posted telling you that you can turn left.
The deputy commander of the traffic division.
Good morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio. That was a clip from Eyewitness News broadcast, I think, on the 25th of November, 2022. This is something that Mr. Cecil Newry referenced yesterday, and I was lost because I hadn't heard the clip. So, guys, I want to get through this I promise you, very quickly before we talk about Twitter and Apple. Okay, so I'm still stunned by what I heard just now.
Yeah.
I'm sure I heard the deputy commander of the traffic division say you only can make the left turn where there are signs posted. Well, the first question to ask,
due to the negligence of,
we can get there. Hold on, we can get there. So the law that initiated turning left on red is the Road Traffic Amendment Regulation 2019. Mm-hmm. That was gazetted on 27th of March, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what I'm looking at.
Wow.
When I printed it offline,
mm-hmm,
off the interwebs, it said it was gazetted 27th of March, 2019. It is now the 1st of December, 2022. And I'm going to say this. Let me add this disclaimer. I'm not attempting in any way to disrespect the Royal Bahamas Police Force, to clown them, or to make fun of them, or to create an environment in which other people will think that they have a license to just clown them.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask the deputy commander of the road, of the traffic division, who was responsible for putting up the signs once the law was gazetted?
Mm-hmm.
And why are you in this interview looking at me like I am the person who is responsible for putting up the signs and I didn't do my job?
Mm-hmm.
It's been almost three and a half years. And the only signs that are erected, I may be wrong. Apparently, I often am. Thank you, Texter, for reminding me. Those were erected before the law was passed.
Mm.
In fact, the only sign that I'm aware of is the sign on University Drive taking you to the highway.
Okay.
That's the only sign that I'm aware of. And the lights that have turn left signals were erected long before the law was gazetted.
Mm-hmm.
Long before the law was gazetted. So what I want to know is, right?
So we all breaking the law, right? By turning left.
Including the police.
Wow. Apparently.
And I thought I was doing a good thing.
And who was going to tell us? And I get the impression that y'all sort of making fun of people like me who just think we know everything and be talking about traffic like we are traffic officers, but y'all don't talk about nothing. You refuse to talk to us unless you're attempting to make fun of us or chastise us. It's been 3.5 years. And you get people, in fact, I look up in this handsome man face. I like to look up in handsome man face. So it's like a warning signal. It's like, he's handsome, but he's stupid. You can look deep in their eyes. And this boy, see, he had a cloaking device on. Because the cars in front of him turned right on red. And he stopped.
You mean he turned left?
No, I didn't say left.
Oh, on right.
They turned right on red at Shirley and Mackey because that's practice now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They act like that's law. But he stopped and he did what the commander said to do. Mm-hmm. He ascertained whether it was clear before he entered traffic. Of course, it wasn't clear, and he didn't care, but he ascertained that it wasn't clear, and then he entered traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that he also had his cell phone in his hand. Okay. And I was like, yeah, see, the training works. The training works. You got to look them deep in the eye before you fall in love with them.
Because mm-hmm.
they may be handsome, but they may be stupid, too.
So one of the things that, you know, when you go to the States, they don't have a sign at every junction saying you can turn right. They only have signs when they prohibit it.
Right.
Wouldn't that make more sense?
Mm-hmm.
Just to have a few less signs, because on most roads you're going to be okay to turn left,
right.
except maybe, you know, where Shirley Street goes up around Cumberland, you
yeah.
know, where Marcus Street comes up, that mm-hmm. junction, you would say, well, maybe that's not a left turn there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't that have been made more sense in legislation than having a sign for every left turn?
Mm-hmm. Possibly. And I'm trying to figure out, why would you require a sign? Why mm. wouldn't you just install traffic lights with a left turn signal on it, mm-hmm. indicating when you could turn left?
Mm-hmm.
Or better yet, like you say, because the red light is more important, indicating when you cannot turn left,
right.
like at the Marathon intersection, where mm-hmm. it seems that we have to tell people constantly that you cannot turn left when people are coming across Prince
right.
Charles at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, that was the major point for me, the fact that it seems that motorists are having difficulty determining where oncoming traffic is coming from, or determining the fact that the road is not clear before trying to make this left turn at a light, therefore causing accidents. I think that was the most perturbing part to me.
I'm going
to
argue.
Like,
why are you not
waiting for the road to be clear before making this left turn? That's weird.
Because you are suggesting that they are having difficulty determining when to go. I am suggesting that they don't care about what you're doing in your car. They don't care about the right of way. They don't care about these things, and they just gun.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Which is scary.
It is extremely scary. But even scarier than that is that it's possible that this is learned behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're modeling the behavior of others,
right.
who they think are setting an example,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right? And it's, I don't want to drive anymore.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I learned how to drive, my mother said, look, these are just accidents. Accidents happen. That's why you have insurance, right? And you go, you call mm-hmm. the police, you deal with it, things get fixed. You don't be afraid to drive. And then somebody hit the car. Somebody hit the car. And then I watched the boy coming out of the building 100 and 200 yards away with the police officer,
mm-hmm.
right? So it turns out accidents aren't just accidents, because people don't like to give the correct information to the police after an accident. They like to attempt to bribe police officers. Yeah, they attempt to bribe the police officers
mm-hmm.
at the scene of an accident, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's
no insurance.
Integrity. Or they're on the road. Like, look here, if you're on the road with no insurance, right?
No license. Bought their license.
Don't jump. I had a person hit the back of my car once. You're talking about 15 years ago. About 10 years ago, they hit the back of the car on E Street. And the woman got out of the car and attempted to body me. But like, she attempted to bully me back in my car.
Mm-hmm.
She asked me, why did I get out of my car?
Mm-hmm.
She asked me, what happened? Somebody hit your car. Anyway, let me read these couple texts and then let's get to Twitter. Producer, the line's working? Let's check that line too. They serious? Where on this island is there a turn left on red signal? This is unbelievable, unthinkable. Another text. Great show as usual, Miss Green. He has a cloaking device. Another text says, you drive on Prince Charles Road?
Yeah.
You brave, buddy.
Yep.
I ain't driving on that until they turn it into King Charles Road. King Charles Road gonna have a better standard of road. In fact, yeah. King Charles, could you come visit us, please?
Let him drive.
So these boys could fix your road?
Driving a note down that road.
Dear texter, I mean, you are half correct, you know. The texter say, Miss Green, don't forget, when you learn how to drive, cars was made out of foil. Dear texter, I would like to argue with you on that point, that when I learned how to drive, cars were made out of triple-ply steel.
Steel, yeah.
That's why we can't have these older Bahamians on the road driving anymore. Because they feel like they're driving them old cars. mm-hmm. but they really drive in the aluminum foil cars.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, Aaron. A lot of our drivers have no common sense, no respect for laws, or just plain ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, okay, we got 4 minutes. We can talk about Twitter. They're being taught this. I don't want to make any more enemies than I've already made.
Are you sure?
I mean, I'm almost sure. But the Road Traffic Department told me that there's a moratorium on driving schools.
Okay.
I'm waiting for a public statement so I can invite them.
What does that mean?
It means that they can't. They're not going to license any more schools.
Right, okay.
And I infer from that that the intention is to create stricter regulations mm-hmm. and oversight
mm-hmm.
for driving schools.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched this driving school vehicle with appear to have a student in the driver's seat run, you know, the left on red. And when I say run the left on red, they didn't stop to ascertain whether it was clear to go. In fact, I'm almost certain that they were attempting to stop, and the person who was driving was telling them, no, just keep going.
Yeah, because also people are blowing their horn at you if you don't make the turn.
Dear drivers, let's talk about it. Those people are not coming to court with you. They're not coming to look up in the magistrate's face with you when you got to tell the magistrate how you killed these people children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my daughter, she just learned to drive, right? And probably that's a good idea to have that moratorium, because after like a few drives, the instructor comes with his wing mirror because she knocked it off his car, right? So I have to give him $130 for that. So she passes a test, right? She already put 4 dents on my car. I didn't have a single dent. Each corner has a little scratch, a little board.
Mark's daughter. I know a lawyer. I mean, whether you want to sue Mark or the driving school,
yeah.
We did not say that out loud.
Thankfully, it was nothing, you know, major.
Just little dings.
Mm-hmm. Little dings.
But yeah. And those things we can expect, right? And we can accept. Producer, let's try that phone line one more time. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Okay. Dear caller, I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on with the phone lines. I apologize, but we've been trying.
Mm-hmm.
The phone's just not coming up. Okay, last text. Chikchani Queen, Lady Green, I enjoy your show every blessed day. I recall you and Mark Palmer talking about winter pay avocado. I don't think I ever ate any. I need to plant some winter pay avocados. You see my contact?
Uh-huh.
Tell the people I'm writing it down.
Give me that, and I'll
okay.
plant one plant.
Please link me up with Mark Palmer, and I will do so I can obtain a bag or two. Someone from Police Road Division needs to explain this. If they don't want us to turn left unless there's a sign, they're basically repealing the law. Well, see, there could be some in betweens, right? Like, producer, there's another call. Police not responsible for making the signs.
Who decides which sign goes where?
Right, which intersections mm-hmm. get signs.
Who makes mm-hmm. that decision?
Right, and why wasn't that clearly indicated
from
in the legislation?
Yep.
Why didn't the minister, when he spoke, clearly explain the policy? Maybe he did and the reporters didn't carry it. Good morning, caller. Hey, good morning. Look here, you got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to get it, but it's an interesting conversation, though.
Thank you.
I just want to say quickly, on my 15 seconds, when you're, I see young mice investing in a lot of shares, and when you invest, you do your own way, do a lot of research,
mm-hmm.
call experts, I call a lot of experts, lawyers, great shadow accountants,
mm-hmm.
Greg Bettle, you know Greg Bettle?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of my advisors, so you just got to get good advice. I can elongate it to a regular person.
Uh-huh.
A regular person, you do regular reading, regular research. And so before you get into any regular share.
I got you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Hmm. Thank you. Again, investing in crypto is like investing in your mother. I sure you think you've done all the research you could do. And that's what some of these senior men, some of the top-level investors and people in the financial sector globally have been telling us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, John Rockefeller, his father scammed him, the kids. He defrauded them every time. He made them so nervous about investment that it made John Rockefeller the man. It's a really interesting story. He would get him to lend money and never pay it back. He would do this. And it was an incredible story that his father would just do that to
sounds
the
like
kid.
Logan Roy.
Yeah.
And so perhaps as we end the show, this may be the perfect example, right, of why the Bahamas is the perfect place to host the cryptosphere, right? Because to the people who are in the industry, it appears as if this isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And that anybody who enters this sphere should be prepared and understand that things like this can happen. I just need the European Union to know that, buddy, it's okay. You don't need to regulate us any more than you are already attempting to regulate us. Mm-hmm. We can figure it out. We didn't get to talk about Twitter, we can get to it next week.
Hopefully.
Yes, before you all try collapsing, I got Gail on the side here trying to get rid of Twitter.
Oh, not me. You mean Mark? Not me.
I'm a Twitter fan.
Okay. I was talking about Elon Musk in particular as a person.
Oh, as a person.
Right, yeah. Okay. No, I love Twitter. Sorry.
Okay, good.
Sorry if I gave you the wrong impression.
Great.
About that.
No, that's good. Because all these people, they want to. Oh, Musk is a bad guy. We need to just destroy all of his things. And I'm like, listen, right, do y'all understand how Twitter serves the global south?
Right.
Mm-hmm. How it serves the Bahamas and the Bahamian diaspora, keeping them connected to what's going on and their family members.
A lot of people don't know communication during Dorian was made possible by Twitter, where we were able to, they were able to locate people where they were in their homes, those who were stuck in their roofs, etc., mobilize boats, mobilize people on jet skis through the social media app, through Twitter.
Yeah.
So, you know, its power and its benefits are, I could expound all day.
Right. I would like to say they outweigh the negative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they outweigh the negative.
For sure.
Unfortunately, we have a toddler with a toy in his hand at the moment, but yeah.
Listen.
Oh, I would beg to disagree, but we can talk about that next week.
Yeah, we can disagree on that. Yeah, there you go.
They force Musk to buy Twitter the same way somebody forced Sir Franklin Wilson to buy the Sun in the Bahamas. He didn't do that. He didn't become the Sun Tzar just because he wanted to. Somebody forced him to do that. Mm. We need to figure that out. The world of big business. I don't understand it. That means it's my time to go. Y'all could stay, but I got to go. C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. Producer, thank you very much. And to the people who are attempting to call in today, I'm very sorry. We're working on the phone lines. We're going to get it fixed. You guys have a great day.
From a girl.